Good morning. Nice to see all of you. This morning we're going to examine together what is a woman's obligation in the reading of Megillah. Okay, we'll see that women, of course, have a very special relationship to the story of Purim, the miracle of Purim, the salvation of Purim, and to the reading of the Megillah. And I've already seen advertised Megillah reading for women, by women, Megillah reading open to the public for both men and women, read by women or read by a woman. Okay, so this morning we'll explore together what is the status of a woman's obligation in Megillah. Now, of course, women are exempt from mitzvot aseh shazman grama, positive time-bound commandments, at least formally. Of course, they can elect or they can decide to take on an obligation, perform a mitzvah. The Rambam in Hilchot Tzitzit writes that a woman can perform a mitzvah aseh, but doesn't make a bracha. We Ashkenazim follow Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosfot in a number of places, that a woman would make a bracha. However, a woman's obligation, as we'll see in a moment, in Megillah is different. The Gemara in Daf Dalid, in Masechet Megillah here in source number one, records, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Nashim Chayavot b'mikra Megillah. Women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. And then the Gemara adds an expression that appears in a few places in the Talmud, She'af hein hayu be'oto hanes, for they too were involved in the miracle, maybe participated in the miracle. This is an expression that appears in a number of places, as I said. It appears in regards to the reading of the Megillah here. It appears regarding a woman's obligation in lighting the menorah. Women were also obligated by the Chachamim in the lighting of the menorah because they too were part of the miracle, as well as the Arba Kosot, the Dalet Kosot, the four cups of wine we drink on Leil HaSeder. Women are obligated because they too, the Gemara says, were involved in the miracle. She'af hein hayu ba'oto hanes. And so you find this expression with regards to these three mitzvot, which are all derabanan, they're all rabbinic mitzvot, and they all contain an element of pirsume nisa. They all contain an element of publicizing a miracle, either the salvation of Purim or the miracle of Chanukah or the redemption from Egypt, the exodus from Egypt. Okay? And there's a lot to say about this expression, she'af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, and maybe we'll return to it a little later on this morning, but just very simply, what does that mean, that they too were involved in the miracle? So take a look at source number two. Rashi there explains, she'af al hanashim, gazar haman lahashmid laharog la'abed minar va'ad zaken taf v'nashim. Women were also included in the decree by the wicked Haman when he wanted to kill and destroy and wipe out all the Jewish people, from Na'ar, from the youth to the elderly, small children and women. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk itself from the Megillah, from Megillat Esther, which says that women were also under threat. Women were also included in the gzeirah, the decree that Haman made against the Jews. And so too for Rashi, women are included in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Why? Because their lives were under threat as well. They were also in jeopardy. So they too are included in the mitzvah. However, the Rashbam understands this expression in a little bit of a different way. It's not that women are included in the mitzvah of Megillah because they too were saved, they too were in jeopardy, their lives were under threat, and now that they experienced the salvation, they have to read the Megillah. The Rashbam takes it a little further. He says, no, the entire salvation of Purim was brought about through women, or through a woman, namely Esther. And here, take a look at source number 3. Tosfot quotes the Rashbam. Piresh Rashbam she'ikar hanes haya al yadan. The Rashbam explains this expression that women were also involved or part of the miracle. He says that the miracle took place through them. Al yadan, it was by their hand. Bipurim al yidei Esther, on Purim through Esther. B'chanuka al yidei Yehudit. Right? We all know the story of Yehudit on Chanukah. B'pesach shebeschut tzidkaniot shebaoto hador nigalu. Chazal tell us in a number of places that because of the righteous women, the Nashim Tzidkaniot, we were redeemed from Egypt. So it's not just that women were saved, women were in jeopardy, their lives were in jeopardy, the Gezerah was decreed against them, and so somehow when they are saved, miraculously, they have to read the Megillah, but no. According to the Rashbam, they brought about the miracle. They brought about the salvation. They brought about the redemption. Okay? And take a look at source number 4. This is a Mishnah. Now, we said already, we saw a statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi in the Gemara that a woman is obligated in the reading of the Megillah. But the Mishnah here, in source number 4, in the second parak of Megillah, says explicitly that a woman may read the Megillah, or at least that's what's inferred. We'll see that a woman, not only is she obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah, but she may read the Megillah. Take a look at the Mishnah here, source number 4. Hakol ksherim likrot et haMegillah chutz micheresh shoteh veKatan. Everyone is kosher. Everyone is fit to read the Megillah, meaning to read it publicly. Okay. Except for this category that we have in many places, cheresh, shoteh, v'katan. These are three that are exempt from mitzvot. A deaf mute, someone who is mentally unstable or doesn't have the capacity to perform mitzvot, and a minor. Okay, because these people, they themselves are not obligated in the mitzvah, so certainly they cannot read for others. Again, the reason why they're not obligated is because, again, they are either they're a minor or they don't have the capacity to. They're not considered a bar dat in order to be able to fulfill mitzvot. They're not obligated for their actions. Okay, you find this in many places. Even with regards to damages, to nizikin, if one of those three causes damages, the result is different because they're not responsible for their actions. So again, the Mishnah says, "Akol ksherim likrot et haMegillah." Everyone and anyone, all, okay, hakol, all are kosher, are fit to read the Megillah, except for the cheresh shoteh katan. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, and Rabbi Yehuda says even a katan can read the Megillah. And take a look here in source number 5. The Rambam there in his Perush haMishnah, in his commentary to the Mishnah, writes, "Hakol va'afilu isha." It includes a woman. Okay, hakol. All. And why would it be that a woman can read the Megillah? Again, because women, as we said, are obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah, because they too were involved in the miracle. And we'll see that according to the Rambam, this means that a woman can read for a man because they have the same
recording in progress
level of obligation. Okay, we'll come back to that shortly, but if one is being motzi another, if one is fulfilling the mitzvah for another, if you are fulfilling your obligation with someone else, right? So the individual that is being motzi you has to have the same status, has to have the same level of obligation. So for instance, and there are many examples of this, but if for instance, the person fulfilling the mitzvah is only obligated on a rabbinic level in something, and you're obligated on a biblical level in something. So obviously they cannot assist you in fulfilling your obligation. They cannot be motzi you. But it would seem here from the Mishnah, from the Perush HaRambam, that a woman's obligation, the nature of a woman's obligation in Megillah, is on par with a man's, and therefore a woman can read the Megillah right? Seemingly for men as well. And take a look here at source number 6. Okay, this is a Gemara in Masechet Arachin. The Gemara there says, Hakol chayavin b'mikra megillah, hakol k'sherin likrot et ha-megillah. All are obligated and all are kosher to read the Megillah. So this statement, right, synthesizes the two statements of Chazal that we've already seen this morning. The statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying that everyone is obligated in the midst of Megillah, including women, and everyone is kosher or fit to read the Megillah. So here, the Gemara explicitly says that it includes women. Hakol chayvin b'mikra Megillah, all are obligated in the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Hakol k'sherin likrot et ha-Megillah, and all are fit to read the Megillah la'atuyei mai. Who does that come to include? La'atuyei nashim. That includes women. Ukidur Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And this is consistent with the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that we began with this morning. Da'amar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Nashim chayavot b'mikra Megillah sh'af hein hayu ba'oto anes. Women are obligated in the mitzvah Megillah as they too were involved in the miracle. Or they too participated in the miracle. Or according to the Rashbam, they brought about the miracle. Okay? And there, on the Gemara in Arachin, Rashi comments, right? Latuye nashim. The statement comes to include women, shechayavot b'mikra Megillah, who are obligated in the reading of Megillah, uksherot, and here Rashi says this explicitly, uksherot likrota, they are fit to read the Megillah, ulahotzi zecharim yidei chovatam, and fulfill a man's obligation through their reading. Okay, so according to Rashi, the way Rashi understands the Gemara, women and men have the same level of obligation in Megillah. And so a woman can read for a man. Okay, that's Rashi. Okay, so, you know, before we get into gender equality and, you know, feminism and egalitarianism and all of these things, we have to view this topic just through the halacha yevesha, the dry halacha, right? What do the poskim say? What is the nature of a woman's obligation in this mitzvah? Okay, before we get into a discussion of including women in our community and the role of women in our community, according to Rashi, again, based on the statements we saw, a woman's obligation in Megillah is the same as a man's obligation. And according to many, that appears to be the position of the Rambam as well here, in the first perek of Hilchot Megillah, in source number 8. The Rambam writes, Kriyat HaMegillah Bizmana Mitzvat Aseh Midivrei Sofrim. The reading of the Megillah is a positive mitzvah from Divrei Sofrim, from the scribes, the rabbis, without getting lost as to what the Rambam means, but simply it's rabbinic. V'hadvarim yidu'im shei takanat nevi'im, and it's known that this is among the, or this is an enactment of the prophets. What the Rambam means by that is also the subject of a rich discussion and debate. Very simply, it's a takana of the Nevi'im because it appears in the Megillah itself. The Megillah, of course, is written, Beruach HaKodesh was written by Esther with divine inspiration, Beruach HaKodesh. And so therefore, the enactments in the Megillah have the status of a takanat nevi'im. It's not just like any old rabbinic commandment or any old rabbinic mitzvah, but it has a greater authority. And there are nafkaminot lahalacha with regards to a takanat nevi'im. It's not the same as just a din derabanan or a mitzvah derabanan. Okay, it's more similar in some ways to a mitzvah de'oraita because even though it's not in the Torah, it's already in the Nevi'im. And there are other examples, but again, I don't want to get lost. This next line is important to our conversation this morning, that kol chayavim b'kriyata, all are obligated in the reading of the Megillah, anashim, men, v'nashim, women, v'gerim, converts, avadim, shuchrarim, and slaves that have been freed, okay, that have an obligation in mitzvot. So, again, without getting into all of those categories, we're a little limited here on time this morning. I apologize. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of construction being done here in Yerushalayim HaBnuya, the rebuilt Jerusalem. It's a work in progress. But the Rambam clearly states in Halacha Aleph that women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. Okay? And in Halacha Bet, he writes, Echad HaKore ve'echad HaShomea min HaKore yatsa yidei chovato. Whether one reads it or one hears it from one who reads it, he has fulfilled his obligation. V'hu sheyishma mimi shehu chayav b'kriyata. So long as he hears it from one who is obligated in the reading of the Megillah. Now, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam doesn't say women explicitly, but it would seem that that would be the Rambam's position. Because again, in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes that a woman is obligated in the reading of the Megillah. And in Halacha Bet, the Rambam writes that you can fulfill your obligation with someone else's reading so long as they share your level of obligation.
Recording in progress.
So long as they too are obligated in the mitzvah. And well, he just said that women are obligated in the mitzvah. So seemingly, according to the Rambam as well, though he doesn't write it explicitly, right, you could argue that the Rambam also holds, like Rashi, that a woman can read for herself, can read for other women, and a woman can read the Megillah for men because they have the same level of obligation in the mitzvah. And that's how the Magid Mishnah and other commentaries on the Rambam understand this passage. Okay? Take a look at where I've underlined in source number 9. This is the Magid Mishnah there. The Magid Mishnah writes, Aval Isha nir'eh midivrei Rabbeinu. It appears that according to Rabbeinu, our rabbi, according to the Rambam, right, a woman can read for a man. Shehi motzia et achirim v'chein ikar. She can be motzi achirim. She can fulfill other people's obligations, including men. V'chein ikar. And that is the ikar. That's the halacha, according to the Rambam. And you find that among the Rishonim, as we saw, Rashi, the Rambam, the Or Zeruah, the Nimukei Yosef, the Meiri, they all rule that a woman has the same level of obligation in Megillah as a man, and she can read the Megillah for a man and fulfill his obligation, or he can fulfill his obligation through her reading. The Ritva contradicts himself. In one place, he says that a woman's obligation is the same as a man's, and she can read for him. In another place, he says the opposite, that a woman cannot fulfill a man's obligation. We'll see why, according to some Rishonim, a woman cannot fulfill a man's obligation because they have perhaps a different obligation. While women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah, we'll see that according to some, the nature of their obligation is different than a man's obligation. And that would be based on the Tosefta here in source number 10 at the bottom of the page. And there are different versions of the Tosefta. The Tosefta, of course, is the collection of Braitot, and there are many different versions and different manuscripts of the Tosefta. This is the version in the Tosefta Kifshuta of Professor Lieberman. And the Tosefta begins, HaKol Chayavim B'Kriyat Megillah, Kohanim Leviim, V'Yisrael, Gerim V'Avadim, Shuchrarim, etc., etc., etc. The Tosefta lists many different categories of individuals who are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. Okay? And then goes ahead and says, and they can fulfill the obligation for others. Okay? But take a look at the very bottom of the passage, the very bottom of the page where I've underlined. The Tosefta here, this passage concludes, Nashim v'avadim uktanim piturin ve'ein motzi'in et harabim yidei chovatan. Women, servants, and children are exempt, and they do not fulfill the obligation for others. They cannot read the Megillah for others. So that would seem to contradict the Gemara, the Talmud HaBavli, the Gemara that we began with, the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara in Arachin, the way Rashi that Rambam and others understand those passages. And here you have a Tosefta, which sounds like women are exempt. Now, we mentioned Cheresh Shotev HaKatan. There's another category, Nashim Avadim and Ktanim, that also are exempt from mitzvot, or at least certain mitzvot. They have different statuses. The status of an Eved is similar to a woman's obligation in mitzvot. So what does this mean, right? What does this passage in the Tosefta mean? Does it mean that a woman is exempt completely from the Megillah, from reading the Megillah? Well, if so, that would be in conflict with the Gemara. Well, okay, that can happen. You can have different opinions, maybe. How do you reconcile this passage in the Tosefta with the Gemara that we began with, that a woman is obligated in Megillah? Why? Because she too was part of the miracle. Sh'afhein hayu ba'oto anes. Women were also part of the miracle. And according to the way some read it, the miracle or salvation was brought about through the hands of women, or through the hand of Esther. So how do you reconcile this passage in the Tosefta with the passages in the Gemara and the Talmud Bavli that we saw? This is a tremendous chidush of the Bahag here at the top of the next page in source number 11. We're based on this passage in the Tosefta. The Bahag suggests something very unique, very original, okay, major chidush. The Bahag suggests that, yes, a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. However, she's only obligated in the hearing of the Megillah. She's obligated to hear the Megillah, whereas she's exempt from reading the Megillah. Okay, the Bahag makes a distinction between hearing the Megillah and reading the Megillah. And the Bahag understands this passage in the Tosefta to suggest that, yes, a woman is obligated in Megillah because she too was involved in the miracle. Esther brought about the miracle, right? However, her obligation is different than a man's, okay? The nature of the obligation is different. Whereas a man is obligated in both the reading and the hearing of the Megillah, a woman is only obligated in listening to the Megillah. And that's what the Tosefta means when, therefore, she cannot be motzi acherim. She cannot fulfill other people's obligation, meaning she cannot fulfill a man's obligation because they don't have the same level of obligation. Okay, Bahag would seem to divide this mitzvah up into two parts. Perhaps, as some achronim suggest, two separate mitzvot. Okay, maybe two separate mitzvot. There's a lot of pilpulim, a lot of divrei Torah on this. Are they two separate mitzvot or two parts of one mitzvah? In any case, let's take a look at the Bahag where I've underlined. So the Bahag quotes this Tosefta that we saw, right? And then he writes, where I've underlined, Nashim vavadim uktanim piturin mikriyat megillah ela shechayavin b'mishma. They are exempt from reading the Megillah. However, they're obligated in listening to the Megillah. Lama? Shakol hayu b'safek lahashmid laharog ulabed. He throws something interesting, and it's really based on a Yerushalmi, which we'll take a look at in a moment. There's another reason for the Bahag to suggest what he suggests here. Again, it's based on that passage in the Tosefta, and he reads the Tosefta to suggest that a woman is obligated in hearing but not reading, and that's what the Tosefta means when it says she can't read for others. So here, there's another proof, and it's based on the Yerushalmi, that everyone was obligated in the, or we'll see in a moment, how to read this passage in the Yerushalmi, but women were obligated, or women were involved, or women were rather only b'safek. Their lives were only in safek jeopardy. Okay, their lives were only in safek jeopardy, and therefore bisveka kol chayvin b'mishma. Therefore, they are obligated in hearing. In hearing, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we'll see in a moment. The Yerushalmi says how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi machniset kol anshe beito v'korel lifneihem megillat Esther. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gathered up all the members of his household, and he read the Megillah for them, or read the Megillah before them. And what the Bahag wants to suggest is by the fact that he gathered them up all together, right, in his home and read the Megillah for them, that suggests that it's because they could not read for themselves. He had to read for the women. The women could not read for themselves. They couldn't be motzi achirim, and that's why he gathered them up and read for them. Okay? Again, suggesting that the status of a woman's obligation is different than a man's. Now again, how do you read this passage, Safek? So I put the Yerushalmi here in source number 12, and even the Bahag has slightly different version of this Yerushalmi. There are different versions also with the Yerushalmi of many different girsot. Bar Kapara Amar. Bar Kapara said, Tzarich likrota lifnei nashim. You have to read the Megillah before women, in front of women, vilifnei ktanim, and before children, sha'af at otam havu bisafek, because they too were, their lives were bisafek. Now, you could read that just to simply be that their lives were in jeopardy. Right? No, but what the Bahag wants to say is that maybe they didn't have the same status or level of threat against them. Okay? The gzeirah, the threat or the decree leveled against them was not on par with a man's. Yes, Haman wanted to destroy everyone, including women and children, but the Bahag reads this passage to suggest they were only bisafik. Now you could read this passage in Yerushalmi very simply. No, it just means the word safik here doesn't imply doubt or question or uncertainty, but the word safik here just means jeopardy, right? Or it's simply uncertainty, but everyone's lives were in jeopardy. Everyone's life was uncertain at that point. There was so much uncertainty and doubt at that point. But the Bahag wants to read into the Yerushalmi. And that's why Bar Kapara said you have to read for women, because the level of threat that was leveled against them was not the same as everyone else, and therefore their obligation in the mitzvah is not the same as a man's. It was only safek, okay? Sha'af otam havu bisafek. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi avad ken. So the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did so, right? He did just that, right? Machnes benoi ubnei beiti. So he gathered up his children, his sons, and the members of his household. Vikarela komehon. And he read before them. He read the Megillah for them. So you could, again, interpret this statement very simply. Like, you know, he just read for the people in his home. Right? Not everyone can get to shul. Certainly, you know, during a pandemic, people are in quarantine. Maybe it's during a lockdown. I remember when the pandemic really first began 2 years ago. It was right before Purim. And there were some members of my shul who were in quarantine as they had just arrived from abroad. And right before Purim, mamish, just like a day or two before Purim, the government announced that if you're arriving from abroad, you have to quarantine for whatever it was, 7 days, 14 days. So they could not come to shul. So then there was this whole question of, you know, how can they fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah reading? Well, if they have a kosher Megillah, they can, of course, you know, read to themselves, the Megillah, read for their families. If they don't know how to read the Megillah, they can listen along to a broadcast on the radio or maybe on Zoom and follow along, ideally with a kosher Megillah. Okay. So, but based on his reading of the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi, the Bahag has this huge chiddush where he suggests that the nature of a woman's obligation is different than a man's. And therefore, a woman is only obligated in the hearing of the Megillah and not reading of the Megillah. And therefore, a woman cannot read for a man. Okay, this is unlike what we saw in Rashi and the Rambam, and as I mentioned, other Rishonim suggest. Okay, so you have a machloket Rishonim, a dispute among the Rishonim. Now, this language of the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi, at least the way the Bahag reads it, would appear to contradict, again, what we saw in the Talmud HaBavli, what we saw in Megillah, what we saw in Arachim. And it's interesting there, the Rabbeinu Chananel, to Megillah Daf Dalid, indeed amends the text, that statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had said that women are obligated by Mikra Megillah, in the reading of the Megillah. That's our version of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel had a different version. In Rabbeinu Chananel's version, right, Rabbeinu Chananel writes that women are chayavot lishmoa mikra Megillah. He adds the word lishmoa. You see, if you take a look at source number one, right, our Gemara, or our version of the Gemara, has it that women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. But Rabbeinu Chananel, in his version of the text, he adds one word, lishmoa. Women are obligated in the listening or the hearing of Mikra Megillah. Okay? And the Rabbeinu Chananel rules like the Bahag, that the nature of the obligation of a woman in Megillah is different. She's obligated in the hearing. Okay? And so he therefore amends the text of the Bavli. And you have other Rishonim as well, that paskin like the Bahag, not just the Rabbeinu Chananel, but also the Smag, the Tosfot HaRosh. It's possible that, you know, possible that it's the Shita of Tosfot as well, perhaps, in Arachin. The Ran on the Rif writes that it's unclear. Okay, you have a machloket in terms of how to read these different passages and how to understand them. So since it's unclear, the Ran writes that you should be machmir in terms of a woman not reading for a man, because perhaps they don't have the same level of obligation. Okay, now again, without getting into politics or you know, a woman's role in Orthodoxy or feminism, egalitarianism, it's just very, very simply a discussion of what is the nature of a woman's obligation in Mikra Megillah, right? And of course, you have many, Baruch Hashem, educated women that can read the Megillah. You said you have a kosher Megillah. Many women read for themselves, read for other women. You know, our purpose this morning is to look at this through the lens of halacha. What does halacha have to say? Okay, obviously, you know, we want women to feel a part of the community, no doubt, especially on a holiday like Purim, where, as we saw, Afheina Yuboto Anais, and not just that, that they were involved or part of the miracle, in that they were saved or redeemed, but they brought about the miracle. Okay. Oh. Right, and maybe you could read Afhain according for the Bahag, right? One second for the Bahag. One moment for the Bahag and the other Rishonim, right? Who say that a woman's obligation is different? Maybe you can read the Af a little bit differently. Afhain, like they too were involved in the miracle, but maybe that's secondary. Maybe they were involved in a Safek way, as the Bahag wants to read the Yerushalmi, and therefore their obligation is different. And Afhain, they too were included, but maybe it's almost like an afterthought. Maybe that's how the other Rishonim will read the Afhain. Because again, you have to reconcile this. And if you look back at the Mishnah here in source number four, which is Hakol Ksherin Likrot Et Megillah, all are fit to read the Megillah, which, as we explained, according to many, include women. Right. So how do you reconcile that with the opinions of the Bahag and others who hold that, no, women cannot read for men? So what does it mean? Hakol k'sherin, all are fit to read the Megillah. So Tosfot Arachin and the Ran to Megillah explain that according to that opinion, Hakol k'sherim, all are fit, that would mean women reading for women, but not for men, because again, according to this opinion, women and men don't have the same level of obligation. A woman's obligation in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, or the nature of her obligation, is different. According to the Bahag and others, she's obligated in the hearing the Megillah, the listening to the Megillah, but not in the reading of the Megillah. Okay, as I said, you know, in the Achronim, there's a whole rich discussion. Are we talking about two elements of one mitzvah, two separate mitzvot? You have a similar discussion, by the way, with the mitzvah of Tekiat Shofar. Okay, the mitzvah of Tekiat Shofar, which is a mitzvah min haTorah, but there's a dispute among the Rishonim whether the mitzvah is litkoa, to blow, or lishmoa, to listen. Right? Now, if the mitzvah is to blow, so why doesn't everyone blow their own shofar? Well, if you were home in quarantine or during a lockdown, you would have to blow the shofar for yourself, right? But no, the way, according to those who say the mitzvah is to blow, you fulfill the obligation is through the Baal Tokeah, who is blowing the mitzvah for you, who's blowing the shofar for you, blowing the shofar for you, okay? So that fulfills your obligation. And if the mitzvah is to hear, right? So, okay, you're hearing the kol from the Baal Tokeah, and the Baal Tokeah, right, how does he fulfill the mitzvah? Because he's hearing the sound of the shofar that's coming out of his shofar, if the mitzvah is to hear. And there's a lot of rich discussion, a lot of Divrei Torah on that, in different nafkaminot, in different proofs from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, and Rosh Hashanah, and from the Rambam. But without, again, getting lost, you know, you could suggest, so to hear, and we'll come back to this in a few moments. I want to take your question. We'll come back to this in a few moments. You could suggest that so too, you know, if there are two mitzvot here, or if there are two elements, right? So if a woman is only obligated in the hearing, right? But there's also mitzvah to read it, okay? Or maybe part of the mitzvah is to read it. So then even if a woman reads for herself or for other women, maybe something is lacking. And maybe it's better for a man to read for a woman. I know that's very controversial. Wait, better that a man read for a woman. Okay, but we'll see. This is not my idea. The Magen Avraham paskins this way, and we'll see the Mishnah Berurah paskins this way, as is the consensus of many achronim, many contemporary poskim, that if we say there are two separate mitzvot here, or two components to one mitzvah, and a woman, at least according to some Rishonim, is only obligated in the hearing, but there's a whole other component, there's the reading, so then not only, you know, while technically maybe she can read for other women and fulfill their obligations because they have the same level of obligation, but maybe there's still something missing. They're only fulfilling the mitzvah of Shmi'ah and not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyah. Okay? So we'll come back to that point in a moment when we see the Mishnah Berurah, but I wanted to take your question, yes, or your comment. Okay, so we have a machloket rishonim as to the nature of a woman's obligation in the reading of the Megillah, right? Whether she's obligated just like a man, right? And therefore, she can read for a man, and a man can fulfill his obligation with a woman's reading. As we said, that's Rashi and the Rambam, and other Rishonim like the Or Zeruah, the Muke Yosef, the Meiri, maybe the Ritva, at least in one place, and others. Or no, a woman's obligation in Megillah is different. She's obligated in only the listening or the hearing of the Megillah, listening to the Megillah, hearing the Megillah, but she's not obligated in reading the Megillah. And that's, as we saw, the opinion of the Bahag, based on the Tosefta, the Yerushalmi, and it's also the opinion, as I mentioned, of other Rishonim, like the Smag, and the Rabbeinu Chananel, and Tosfot HaRosh, the Ran, maybe Tosfot as well, perhaps, depending on how you want to understand Tosfot. So when there's a machloket, right? When there's a machloket, what do you do? Here we have a machloket. So because it's a machloket, right? According to most poskim, okay, see the Mishnah Berurah in a moment. According to most poskim, since it's a machloket, it's a safek, right, whether a man can fulfill his obligation with a woman's reading, because maybe she's not obligated in the same way, maybe she's only obligated in the listening and not in the reading, the hearing and not in the reading. So therefore, many rule, this is the consensus among most poskim, that therefore a man should not fulfill his obligation by listening to a woman. Even though, again, according to Rashi and the Rambam and other Rishonim, they have the same level of status, and so a man could, according to those opinions, fulfill his obligation with a woman's reading, but since it's Shanui ben Machloket, since there's a dispute, so, again, according to most poskim, this is the consensus, a man should not fulfill his obligation, because maybe, again, he's obligated in the reading, and so his obligation is on a different level. It's a different status. And when we talk about being motzi acherim, again, they have to have the same level of obligation. Okay? And so many contemporary poskim, there's a tshuva of the Ben Ish Chai and Rav Avadia Yosef and others who write that if a man did listen to a woman read the Megillah, he should ideally read it again or listen to it again by a man. Okay. Again, we're not trying chas v'shalom to, say anything against women. Chas v'shalom. We're not trying to be misogynistic here. That's not the point. We're not trying to exclude women from our community or from the conversation. Just the opposite. As we said, the women were involved in the miracle. The salvation of Purim was brought about through a woman. And so women are obligated in the mitzvah. There's just a technical matter of the nature of their obligation. And since it's a question, it's a real question in the Rishonim, among the poskim, whether a man's obligation is the same as a woman's, so the poskim rule that a man should not hear the Megillah from a woman. Okay? Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch here, source number 13. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hakol chavim bikriyata, anashim v'nashim v'geirim v'avadim v'shucharim, u'mechanchim et taktanim l'krota." All are obligated in the reading of the Megillah, right? Men, women, converts, freed slaves, freed servants, and you educate the children to read the Megillah. Okay, you bring them to shul. There's a whole discussion as to how old they should be. If you're going to bring them to shul, the Mishnah Berurah says just so they can make noise when they hear the name Haman, they're going to be mafriya, they're going to disrupt the reading. People will miss words and won't be able to fulfill their obligations. So there's a whole discussion about that, but take a look at Seif Bet. Okay, echad hakorev, echad hashomea min hakorev, yatsa yidei chuvato. So we saw in the Rambam, one who reads, one who listens, from the one who reads, fulfills his obligation. V'hu sheishma mimi shehu chayav b'kriyata. But they have to listen to the Megillah from someone who is obligated. Again, the whole discussion this morning is regarding the nature of obligation, the status. L'fichach, therefore, imaya hakore cheresh o katan hu shoteh, hashomea min hakoreyatsa. Therefore, if the one reading it is not formally obligated in the mitzvah, the cheresh shoteh v'katan, as we said before, so then you cannot fulfill your obligation by listening to them reading the Megillah. Oh, but take a look here. This is important, where I've underlined, v'yesh omrim shehanashim einam motziot et ha'anashim. Okay? As we said, it's a machloket rishonim. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch here appears to paskin like the Rambam. He's citing the language of the Rambam, but then he adds, however, there's a yesh omrim, there's an opinion that says that women should not fulfill a man's obligation. Women should not read for men. Why? Again, because the nature of a woman's obligation in the reading of the Megillah is different. According to many Rishonim, she's only obligated in hearing the Megillah and not reading the Megillah. So the Shulchan Aruch brings it as a Yesh Omrim, but it's not Machriya. Right? And there's a whole discussion as to how to understand the Shulchan Aruch when he brings a Yesh Omrim, when he brings multiple Yesh Omrims. Okay. And then the Rama writes, "V'yesh omrim im ha'isha korah la'atzma mevarechet lishmo megila she'ena chayvet b'kriya." The Rama brings down what is the minhag for women that read the Megillah. They should read lishmoa Megillah because maybe they're not obligated in the kriya. Okay? But what about, again, as I mentioned, this machloket? The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, they're not machriya. They don't take a clear stance and say men should not fulfill their obligation by listening to a woman read the Megillah. They don't say that b'feirush. Or they don't say, men, like the Rambam and Rashi and other Rishonim say, men can fulfill their obligation through the reading of the Megillah because they have the same level or status of obligation. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama are not machriya. However, as I said, most contemporary poskim rule that a man should not fulfill his obligation by listening to a woman because of the reasons we explained, because according to the Bahag and other Rishonim, a man's obligation may be different. A woman is obligated, according to that opinion, in the hearing of the Megillah, but a man is obligated in the reading as well. And there are other issues that the poskim raised, like Kol Isha. However, with regards to Kol Isha, you know, if it's a holy thing, if it's for a mitzvah, there is certainly room for leniency. Others, as we'll see in a moment in the Mishnah Brura, raise the issue of a woman reading the Torah publicly. The Gemara says that a woman does not read the Torah publicly, mishum kvod tzibur. It's somehow not proper to be done in public. Now, you know, you may have some who believe that maybe nowadays, if the tzibur is mochel on their kavod, if they permit it, right, then it can be allowed. Okay, I'm not going to get into that now. Normative orthodox practice is that women don't read from the Torah. It's not done. However you want to interpret kavod tzibur, okay, it's not accepted in orthodox circles. So the Mishnah Brura here in source number 14 writes the following. He writes, "V'lo dame liner Chanukah." Reading the Megillah is not similar to lighting the Chanukah lecht, lighting the Chanukah candles. We said that that's another area where Chazal said a woman is obligated in the mitzvah because women were involved in the miracle. Af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, right? By Chanukah as well, as we explained. So the Mishnah Brura says, these are different mitzvot. The reading of the Megillah is not comparable to lighting the candles on Chanukah. Why? Okay. Ve'lo dami l'ner Chanukah deshani Megillah. Megillah is different. Dehave kemo kriyat haTorah. Oh, it's more similar to reading the Torah publicly. Upsula mipnei kvod haTzibur. And a woman is not able, not valid, it's not accepted, it's not acceptable for a woman to read the Torah publicly because of kvod tzibur. V'lachein, therefore, afilu liyachid eina motziah mishum lo pluk. Okay? Even an individual. Okay, you could say, well, maybe, all right, you want to say Megillah reading is like Torah reading. So, fine, so she doesn't have to read publicly, where it might be an issue of kvod hatzibur, but she could read privately in her home for her husband. No, but the Mishnah Brura says lo pluk, mishum lo pluk. No, it's, we extend it there as well, even by a yachid. V'gam de'efshar de'isha eina chayevet b'kri'a rak lishmoa. Oh, and here he cites the opinion of the Bahag and others who say, well, maybe a woman's obligation is different in that she's only obligated in hearing the Megillah, so she has a different obligation than men. Mishnah Brura says, so maybe she cannot fulfill a man's obligation, right? Because they have a different level of obligation. A man is obligated both in the hearing and the reading. Aval, he concludes, isha motzia et chaverta. But a woman can fulfill the obligation for another woman. So women can read for women. However, then the Mishnah Brura goes ahead and cites the opinion of the Magen Avram. As I said, there are those who discuss the fact that maybe there are two elements to the mitzvah, two mitzvot here, okay? And if we say that there are either two elements to the mitzvah or two mitzvot, so maybe if a woman reads for a woman or a woman reads for women while they are fulfilling the shmi'ah, which they're obligated in, right? According to the opinion that says they're not obligated in the kriyah, there's something lacking. And if there's something lacking in that reading, then maybe it's even preferable for a woman to hear the Megillah read by a man. And so this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes here at the bottom. The Ayin b'Magen Avraham, shemitzadeh delo tikra l'atzma. Magen Avraham suggests that really it's better that a woman not read for herself, klal, at all. Or that women not read for other women by extension at all. Why? Rak tishama me'anashim. Rather, she should hear from men. V'kol ze b'yeshla mimi lishmoa. Right? So before we get into that, the svara, the reasoning or rationale or logic behind the statement again is that since a woman may not be obligated in the reading and only obligated in the hearing, so it's better that she ideally lechatchila should hear it from a man, so she gets both. Because if she fulfills the mitzvah through a man who's obligated in both the hearing the Megillah and the reading the Megillah, so then she, right, she gets both, so to speak, both aspects of the mitzvah, or both of these mitzvot. She can fulfill her obligation through him, who's obligated in both of these elements. The kol zeh, and that is all the while, so long as b'yesh la mi lishmoa, so long as she has someone to hear the Megillah from. So long that she has a man to read the Megillah for her.
Aval im ein la mi recording in progress.
Tikrahi latzma. However, if there is no one to read for her, she can't get to shul, right? Or she doesn't have a husband, or there's no one to read for her, she could read for herself. She should read for herself. B'migilah k'sheira, okay? From a kosher Megillah. U'mivarechet asher kitshana b'mitzvata v'tzivana lishmoa mikra Megillah. And makes the bracha, as we said before, lishmoa Megillah. Because again, the mitzvah for a woman, according to many Rishonim, is lishmoa, okay, and not reading, not likro, or mikra, migila, okay, and that's the Ramah, as we saw. So, from the overwhelming majority of contemporary poskim, okay, because there is this machloket, this dispute among the Rishonim, a man should not fulfill his obligation with a woman's reading. And perhaps if he heard the Megillah from a woman, he should go ahead and read the Megillah again or listen to the Megillah again because maybe he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah bishleimuta, right? Kitikna, in its completeness, with both the mitzvah or the element of hearing and reading, because maybe he's obligated in both and a woman's only obligated in the shmi'ah. Okay, that's the psak halacha of most contemporary poskim against these partnership readings where you have men and women together and a woman reads the Megillah for the men, or you have both women and men reading the Megillah taking turns. Okay, so according to most poskim, that's problematic again because we have this machloket Rishonim, and according to many Rishonim, a man's obligation in the reading of the Megillah and a woman's obligation in the reading of the Megillah are very different. And again, according to most poskim, this is the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, that even a woman's only minyan is not preferable unless there's no one else, there's no man to read, right? These Megillah readings for women, by women. Again, maybe it's not preferable because a woman is only obligated in the shmi'ah. And it's better for her to hear the Megillah being read from a man who's obligated both in the kriyah and the shmi'ah, according to that opinion in the Rishonim. Okay? Questions? Comments? Complaints? Okay? If not, we will see you Bezrat Hashem next Wednesday morning. And we will continue with Hilchot Purim over the next few weeks in advance of Purim. Okay. Have a wonderful day. And right, a happy Shushan Purim Katan. Shushan Purim Katan. Yes.